Blog Talk Radio.
Keep God first in your walk, baby, and that's Bonafide Talk.
Bonafide Talk. Bonafide Talk, yeah. Good evening, everyone. You are now listening to Bonafide Talk, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country, and one of the top radio talk show shows, on the BLTM Radio Network. Hey, you can hear the BLTM Radio Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, y'all. Just go to BFTMRadio.com. That's BFTMRadio.com. What a privilege it is to have the opportunity to speak life into dead situations via their airways. Amen. Glory be to God. Tonight, we are truly speaking life into dead situations. Our featured guest for this evening has an extensive background in so many areas of life, in the educational field, in ministry, you name it. Most likely, she knows at least a little something. Tonight, she shares with us her knowledge on some of the surefire signs of behaviors that can ultimately lead to domestic bias. How does she know, you say? Well, because she has survived domestic violence herself. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a round of applause to Dr. Karen Brang. Hello, Karen, my sister. How are you?
I am pretty good. Hallelujah. Glad to be here.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And, you know, Karen, as I began to put this episode together, it occurred to me that so many people have become victims of domestic violence, but very few are willing to come forth with it. Why do you think that is?
Probably because of the shame that goes along with it, because a lot of times in our society, when a person experiences violence, there is a shame and a guilt that goes along with it, and especially in marriages. Well, what did you do to cause the problem? Instead of looking at the person that actually caused the problem, because domestic violence actually pierces the very heart, soul, and actually causes problems physically with individuals, because they can be beaten beyond recognition, they can be beaten into disability, and sometimes their injuries can proceed for them dying from their injuries. So a lot of times it's, I think it's because it's something where women are victimized and women are looked at as the weaker sex. Physically, we are weaker, but God is no respecter of persons, and that means that he looks at this behavior as being sinful. It's a sin, and I mean, it's nothing but. Because God does not look upon it as being something that he honors. He looks at abusive behavior as being nothing but sinful and being wicked. And in order for in the church is an institution in society that should not go along with it.
Absolutely. Do you think that much of the dilemma lies with the fact, Karen, that a lot of people are embarrassed? Do they want to put on the facade that everything is okay? You know, they're living the so-called, quote-unquote, American dream. You know, they have the house, the kids, they go out to dinner every other night, and they don't want anyone to know that they're going through these things?
Yeah, shame. I went through that in the beginning. But see, what we have to realize is that domestic violence cuts across every racial background, religion, and economic class. I mean, the very rich go through it, the middle class, and the very poor. And it even happens even in homes where people adhere to Yeshua the Christ, who is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You have pastors that even are guilty of this. And I think when a pastor is guilty of it, there's cover-up. Nobody wants their pastor to be viewed in a negative light. So
sure.
They actually demand that the victim keep quiet. You know, probably using guilt. Well, if you do that, our church should be destroyed. And so, you know, it's a work of the flesh according to Galatians. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it. But if you look at Galatians 5:19 through 21, you are looking at all the symptoms of domestic violence are present in that passage of Scripture. And in that passage of Scripture, it says, Paul says that these people who display these characteristics won't inherit the kingdom of God because it's sin. It's a work of the flesh.
Makes sense. Makes perfect sense. Now, I mm-hmm. noticed something, too. Robin, we're going to talk about Robin's show in just a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, another wonderful radio talk show on the BFTM network. Robin Manley is the radio talk show host for Relationships and You. I want to introduce her to you now. Robin, hello. How are you, hon?
Doing great. How you doing?
Doing well, doing well. You know, we see a lot of signs, you know, for the different people who have been victims of cancer, and my heart goes out to our cancer victims, some that have survived and some that have gone home to glory. I tend to say tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that tonight, this night on Bonafide Talk, we are about to smash domestic violence. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Karen, I looked on your page. Actually, Robin shot it to me. This interesting logo you have, physical violence versus sexual violence. Do you mind making a couple of comparisons between the two? Obviously, all of them derive from wanting power and control, right?
Yeah, it's called the power and control wheel. And actually, social services in the 1980s was having a prevalence with problems with domestic violence so much, women coming in. So they developed a power and control wheel where it explained the physical, sexual, and emotional dynamics of domestic violence. And one of them is intimidation, where he looks at her and gives her glares to intimidate her into doing what he wants, using emotional abuse by using put-downs, isolation. A lot of times isolation is used because if she has no friends and no family, how does she have the tools to get out? Minimizing, denying, and blaming, minimizing his abuse, that it didn't happen, and not taking responsibility, using the children as pawns. A lot of times he doesn't even want the children, but he's using them because he knows that the woman loves her children and wants to protect her. Using male privilege, it's like, I'm the king and this is my castle. And, you know, using different types of sex roles, like a woman's place is in the kitchen and things like that. Using economic abuse, like not allowing her to have access to the money or to have a job, and using coercion and threats that something will happen to her or her family, or he'll commit suicide, or forcing her to use drugs to control her. And the other wheel is actually called the wheel of equality. And the wheel of equality means that there is not, it's a non-threatening, it's a wholesome godly relationship where there's negotiation and fairness, meaning that there's non-threatening behavior, the man and the woman are comfortable expressing their feelings, respect as far as listening and valuing each other's opinion, honesty and accountability, responsible parenting, that means sharing the duties, economic partnership, making decisions together. And that's
okay.
Part of a godly relationship or a relationship that is healthy, where it's balanced,
absolutely,
where not just one person is making all the decisions in the relationship.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to talk about on Robin's show in about less than an hour, guys, on Relationships and You, about the signs of a good and healthy relationship. I want to tap back into, Dr. Karen, about something you were saying earlier about the domination thing. I would think, based on what I have lived and what you have lived and based on your studies, that some men takes men being the head of the household a little bit too extreme, would you say?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You agree, Robin? Yeah.
I agree. A balanced role. They twist the scriptures because...
Just like Satan did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ephesians 5:25, for the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. So it isn't any room for you to be abusing anyone there, because Christ does not condone abuse. I mean, he said one of his commandments was for us to love one another. And this was
Absolutely.
Paul that was speaking in Ephesians. And so people twist scriptures saying that a woman should be submissive, but that's a mutual thing. It wasn't talking about abuse, because it talked about abuse even in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. So, but oftentimes these scriptures are not brought into the forefront, because it just tells a woman to be submissive and that's it. But a woman is to be submissive where a man is surrendered to Christ. Now,
absolutely.
You have to be surrendered to Christ. If you're not surrendered to Christ and don't have the right relationship with Christ, a woman is not able to be submissive to something that is demonic. And I don't expect
absolutely.
Her to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, I'm also reminded that passage of scripture that sometimes, I hate to say it, the ignorant fellows like to use about, I believe it was in the Old Testament, I don't recall what book right now, where the women were not allowed to speak in church. Them not understanding it wasn't like trying to take the woman's rights. It's just that during that time period, they wouldn't even allow our women to get an education. So it was more than
1 Corinthians 11, and actually it was talking about the time, because in Corinth the women actually weren't being taught at home, and so they were disrupting the assembly, and he just was basically telling them to be quiet and for the men to teach their wives at home so they wouldn't be disruptive. People need to be able to interpret scripture. It's not that he was telling them that they
absolutely.
Shouldn't speak. Yeah, it was that in that particular passage of scripture, because the Corinthians were actually a pagan society, he was explaining to them what was the proper order and protocol of things. And see, people don't understand the history of a particular culture and what was going
Precisely.
On. Because Paul was actually apostle to the Gentiles, people that weren't used to being, to serving Yahweh, to serving the one and the true God. So I don't want to get too
Amen.
Much off. But it's about you being able to understand and interpret scripture about
absolutely,
the historical
absolutely.
Things and what was going on at the time.
And what it really comes down to, ladies and gentlemen, it comes down to reading the Bible for ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go into a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to ask some callers for their input, any questions or comments that you may have. If you're already on the switchboard, we have a full house. Praise God. I love you. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. After the commercial break, press 1 if you have a question or comment. Here is Brother Christopher Ayers with I Am Not the Same.
Christ.
that was Christopher Ayers in I Am Not the Same. And I praise God for the lyrics of that song, because truly, I thank God for Jesus, because I am not the same. You know, Robin, earlier before the radio broadcast, we were talking about the guys and how embarrassing it is for them to come forth when they are being abused. So let it not be said ever that Bona Fide Talk is one-sided. We embrace all cultures, all genders. Let's tap into, ladies, what is going on with the guys. There are guys, I know someone very close to me that went through that. Why he tolerated it, I don't know, but he did. Karen, in your opinion, what's up with the women beating up on the guys?
It's a spirit of rejection. I would say, too, that it comes from them trying to be in control when the man is supposed to be the priest of the household, the protector of the household, and one that provides. She's trying to step up and fill the shoes of a man, and a lot of it stems from a spirit of rejection or hurt and pain that happened to her way back. And I think it's the same thing. He's being victimized in the same way that the woman is, and respects women, therefore doesn't feel like he should put his hands on a woman. And it was actually a Lifetime movie that talked about it. It said Men Don't Tell. And she was horribly violent, and he had black eyes and all kinds of bruises and things that happened to him, but he wasn't able to tell anybody because of embarrassment and shame and so many of the other dynamics that go along with it. But a lot of times people, they look at men and say, well, why would you tolerate that? It, basically, the man in the movie, he loved his wife, and he wanted his household to work because he also had children. So
okay.
I think it's some of the same reasons.
Okay, so in other words, do you feel that there's some type of insecurity on the male's part that he feels that he is obligated to tolerate such behavior for the sake of family? Or is this, in addition to that, do you think perhaps there's a void in him that he feels that hasn't been filled yet?
I don't think so. I think that what it is, it's the same thing. It's sinful behavior that's on the behalf of the woman. This displaying these fits of rage, because an abuser raging can it's a way to intimidate and control the partner and the children, and it could be scary or threatening, but it's the partner's way of trying to get their own way in a relationship. Just like when a kid has a temper tantrum, it's deemed unacceptable behavior. It's the same thing. It's a temper tantrum, but it has escalated into violence, and I see it as being unacceptable on both sides, regardless if you are a man or a woman that is displaying violence. You need to keep your hands to yourself, because if you can't talk it out or if you can't control your emotions, then you don't belong in a relationship with a person.
Absolutely.
Because that behavior
Absolutely.
Isn't loving at all.
We have a caller, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Caller with the number ending in 0991, welcome to Bona Fide Talk with Evangelist Milano. What is your question, comment, or contribution to tonight's discussion?
Hello, thank you for the welcome. I just had a comment about the reason why a man would accept that kind of behavior from an abusive woman. I would say that that could possibly come from the man feeling inferior, feeling like he doesn't have a voice in the relationship,
mm-hmm.
or maybe he mm-hmm. feels like he's not capable of stepping up and taking on those manly roles, the role
Absolutely.
As a husband.
Okay.
And I've had experiences
mm-hmm.
with that too. I'm not married, never been married, but my boyfriend, he kind of mentioned how he felt inferior. He didn't know what to say. He felt like if he did say something, he would say the wrong thing or say it the wrong way. So it caused him to kind of just shy back and accept his role at, you know, where he was, and allow me to step up and say things and do things. I wasn't abusive by any means, but I do feel like that could take part in that type of situation.
you know what, I certainly appreciate your contribution to tonight's discussion. Do you think that his insecurities, caller, could have derived from some sort of childhood scar?
Possibly.
Okay.
I feel like it could may come from the type of environment that he was brought up in, his parents maybe not allowing him to speak up for himself, maybe, you know, taking over his life and doing everything for him and making him feel like, I really, whatever I say, it doesn't matter because nobody's listening to me anyway, so they'll accept any kind of treatment.
Wow.
Excellent point.
Wow, that's deep. Karen, I'm sorry, Robin, what is your comment to that, to the caller's comment?
I would say that is a very good point. And if you take that one step further, what if he did encounter an abusive woman or very domineering woman? Then it could easily turn into a domestic violence situation.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
It's so unfortunate. Caller, please stay with us. We've got roughly 10 minutes left on the show. I just want to clear the air on a couple things biblically. I know that we're taught in some ministries that the only condition that we are to leave a spouse is for adultery. Now, here's the thing about that, ladies and gentlemen. We need not just read that scripture by itself. There's so many other parallels and too many facets in that. For example, if you go to Ephesians 5, verse 25, it says, husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So now I'm going to switch that up just a little bit. That is also, well, the husband has that obligation to the wife, yes. But at the same time, a wife is to be submissive to her husband. So there's nothing in either one of those parallels that makes allowances or condones abuse. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Dr. Karen, your comment.
There's a lot of scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:1-8 talks about the lack of control, the treachery, the rashness, and the brutality, and the inability to acknowledge truth. Slander and verbal abuse is another component, and that's spoken of in 1 Corinthians 5:11, 1 Corinthians 6:9, and Mark 7:22. And anger is something that is spoken of in Matthew 5:21-22. And so lies and deceit and falsehood, Malachi 3:5, Matthew 15:19, malice, Romans 1:28-32, and arrogance is mentioned in Mark 7:22. Taking advantage of others, Leviticus 25:17, and impressing others while covering secret sin, Matthew 23:23, and the Bible speaks of child abuse in Luke 17:1-3.
So, I mean, there's so many different scriptural references, Karen. I know you have a book more of, you know, things that are anti-domestic violence. I also would I'd like your take, Prophetess Karen, on marriage to an unbeliever. Now, this there are different ways to interpret this. One way that I interpret this is the moment that, because it goes back to, there's a union that we make when we marry people. We're promised to love, honor, and cherish each other until death do us part. So I feel that the unbeliever part also falls into, you become an unbeliever the moment you put your hands on me. The moment that you physically abuse me, the moment that you mentally abuse me, the moment that you rape me. And yes, there's a such thing as rape in marriage.
Yeah.
That is my take on that. Could you expound on that, please, Dr. Karen?
Yeah. The Bible says that we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And that basically means that sometimes I think what happens is that people get married when they don't know Christ. And then one of the spouses ends up surrendering and submitting to Christ. Christ never told us to leave at that very moment, but to continue to pray for your spouse. But what I think I agree with you. Once someone begins to hit you, because the Bible makes it clear that unrepentant abusers who do not turn away from sin will be judged and will not enter the kingdom of God. And that's according to Matthew 5:21-23 and Revelation 21 and 22. 1 Peter 3:7 indicates that abusers' prayers are actually blocked. Because when you abuse anyone that's abusive, God is not going to answer their prayers, because if a servant of God abuses others, he will be punished when Christ returns, and he will be treated as an unbeliever, according to Luke 12:45-46. And so it's so important that domestic violence be recognized and dealt with as a sin, because the abuser's soul is at stake here. And it's not really, it's about helping the woman get out or the man get out in safety. And it's also to minister to that person that's abusing the person so they don't die and go to hell. We have to keep it real, because if they continue that behavior and die in that sin, they face the wrath of God. And we have,
and you know what, Karen?
Mm-hmm.
That is bona fide talk. Yes, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, I see you guys on the switchboard. If anyone has a question or a comment or would like to contribute to tonight's discussion, go ahead and press 1 now. We've got about 3 minutes left before this episode is over. Hey, if you guys in the chat room have a question or comment, go ahead and post up now. Okay, so we have listeners, and that's perfectly okay. I pray that this broadcast is doing what I'm hoping it will do, free some people, okay? All right, so let's go back and talk about that unbeliever part. Now, Karen, did I hear you correctly that you were in agreement with me about the unequally yoked thing, that with the minute that man or woman puts their hands on them, then at that point they kind of become an unbeliever?
Yes, they actually become, I would say, Romans chapter 1 talks about the reprobated mind. And the reprobated mind is a person that's corrupt and full of malice and all these types of things. And the one thing about a reprobate, he don't want to go to hell by himself. A person that operates in a reprobated mind, he want to take other people to hell with him or she.
Right.
And they also want to make the lives of others miserable that's around him. And I really encourage people to read the whole entire passage of Romans chapter 1, because it talks about the reprobated mind. I mean, some people say it talks about homosexuality, but it actually goes into people trying to make what they do. They're trying to make sin and undamnable behavior truth. That's your version of truth, because it's intertwined with a bunch of lies. And
Amen.
You can't make in truth. And that's what reprobates try to do.
Amen. Powerful, powerful, Dr. Karen. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're towards the end of your show. In closing, we're not saying, I'm not saying, nor Karen nor Robin, that you should up and leave your marriage. Okay, seek counseling, seek help, work it out, but when all else fails, baby, God doesn't want you in that. God does not bless a mess. In about 30 minutes, don't go away. Relationships and You with Robin Manley will be on at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. She will have with her our featured guest for this evening, Karen Brink. Thank you so much for tuning in. And Robin, go ahead and let everybody know what the dial-in number is for your show.
657-383-1233.
Amen.
There it is, guys. And as always,
keep God first in your walk, baby, and that's bona fide talk.
Bona fide talk. Bona fide talk, yeah.